Thank you, Jenna, choir, John and Gail. It's so wonderful to have the accompaniment with all of that too in the choir. Thank you all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. Thank you. Thank you all for coming out to join us today. Before I get into it, I do have a couple of things. This will be my last Sunday for a while. Ann and I are going on a spiritual quest. We are going to hike the Camino de Santiago in Spain, and this is a spiritual pilgrimage. And the universe conspired to make sure that we could do this, and just so there aren't any rumors or anything, I did have a little cardiac event, but modern technology is just awesome. They discovered this like on Thursday, and on Friday I was in Providence, and I now have a 2.5 centimeter stent in my circumflex cardial artery. So, yeah.
Are we going to be tested on that later?
Could be.
Yes, I'll be a test.
So, all is well, and we are headed for Spain and the Camino de Santiago. Our theme for the month of April is kinship with all life, and we're continuing that theme today. The title of my talk is We Are One, and I have three main talking points that I'm going to talk about. First of all is that every human being is a unique and precious way that the infinity of the universal spirit is expressed. Again, every human being is a unique and precious expression of the infinity of the universal spirit and how it expresses. We are how God expresses. Point number two is the interconnectedness of all life. We're all connected. And point number three is that love is the self-givingness of spirit into creation. It is the impulse of life itself. So first of all, point one, every human being is a unique and precious way that the infinity of the one universal spirit is expressed. The idea here is that if one individual were missing, any person that has been, any person that is, or any person that will be, then it would be infinity minus one. And that would mean that God is not fully expressing itself. And that is an impossibility. So each and every one of us are necessary for the complete expression of God on this plane. And I have a wonderful, wonderful announcement for that. And that is that while we were meditating this morning, right here, this very morning, we have a new expression of life. Katie had her baby. Isn't that wonderful? We're so fortunate that she is such a strong, athletic young lady. I think it was a long, long labor.
4 days.
Oh, my. I'm glad for her strength. It's a boy. So congratulations to Katie and her husband and the new baby. Linda, you know the name.
Elias Robert Arthur.
Elias Robert Arthur. The awakening of cosmic identity in our culture, in the West, in the industrial paradigm in which we live, we are nothing more than biological entities. We are ultimately separate from all others and from the rest of the universe, the rest of the cosmos. But modern physics reveal that we are intimately connected with the entire cosmos. Our actual identity, the experience of who we are as people, is vastly bigger than we have ever thought. We are moving from a strictly personal consciousness to a conscious appreciation of ourselves as integral to the cosmos. Physicist Brian Schwimmie explains that the intimate sense of self-awareness that we experience at each moment is rooted in the originating activity of the universe. We are all arising together at the center of the cosmos. I love that quote. We are all arising together at the center of the cosmos. We thought that we are no more than our physical bodies, but we are discovering that we are beings of cosmic dimension, part of the continuous recreation of the universe. Those are great concepts. I mean, but they're all head. It's all mental. And we are so much more than that. What I like to do is see what this amazing concept is and drive it down into our lives and how we do. And there's a great story that shows this. There was a young lady by the name of Jacqueline Suskin. And she lives in Arcata, California. And she is what I would call a poet for hire. She's an amazing lady, and she goes to fairs, to various gatherings where people come together, even sometimes just at a shopping mall. And she will set up her little table, and she has an old-fashioned antique typewriter, the old royal, you pound on the keys, a manual typewriter, and a sheaf of paper, and she will write a poem for you. On site, whatever the subject you want. And she writes poems for people for everything from little kids and their birthdays to elderly people, young men who are starstruck and in love and don't know how to express it to the object of their affection. She'll write a poem for anything and anyone. Well, one day she was at a county fair, and a gentleman came up and asked her, "What is it that you do?" And she says, "I'll make a poem. You tell me what subject and I'll write a poem, and you pay me whatever you feel like." He thought for a second, and he says, "Write me a poem about underwater." And she said, "Well, that's one of my favorite subjects." And she thought for a moment, and she wrote him a poem. And it was so profound, it almost brought tears to his eyes. And he took her poem, he gave her $5, and he picked up one of her business cards. And a few days later, she got an email from him wanting to know if she could write a poem for him as he was going with his children to scatter the ashes of his late wife. She had passed away a few months earlier, and they were going out to scatter the ashes. And she agreed to do it. They had a meeting. He gave her a photo album, a book that had pictures of the woman's life and their life together and whatnot. And it was so touching. And she meditated, she thought about it, and the poem came to her, and she wrote this poem. And it was powerful. It was so powerful that it did indeed bring tears to his eyes. And she felt such a deep connection with him to go and share the love that she felt with him. But when she got the email, she couldn't help but notice the automatic signature beneath it. And he was the vice president and senior managing partner of a timber company that was right there in Arcata. The reason that Jacqueline lived there in that area was her love of the redwoods. And the particular tract that his company was getting ready to harvest was her favorite redwood area, and these trees spoke to her. They were alive, and she felt so one with them. So she was really conflicted because she could feel the love that is inside this man and what he felt for his wife, and yet at the same time she felt that it was so wrong to be cutting down these giant redwoods. And so on their last meeting, where she actually gave him the poem, she said, I couldn't help but notice where you work and what you do. And he was immediately the walls went up because there was a great deal of protest and resentment to this in this area. And he could tell that he could feel it was coming. But what she said is, I really don't have any judgment around that. I'm open to hear all sides, but I think you need to know that I do absolutely love those trees, and it's one of the reasons that I live here. And he talked with her, and he told of how they know where every owl lives inside that forest. And they only take down the trees that are, you know, that can be harvested without harming the rest of the trees and the rest of the ecosystem of the forest. Her reply was remarkable. And she talked to him and she said, I describe the forest as more than a resource, as a place where all of life was interconnected and where people could find spiritual solace in the trees. They ended up canceling the plans to harvest those trees. But more importantly, and as what the point that I want to make here is that we are all important. That every one of us, regardless if we have differing opinions on the environment, we can have different political opinions, but every single one of us is necessary to make the infinity of the whole that is God. Every one of us is necessary. If any one of us is not to be there, then that would not be allowing God to fully express itself. I read a blog, and it was called workingwithoneness.org. And there was an article in there by a man by the name of Dwayne Elgin, and I have no idea who he is or what he does. But what he wrote, I found very profound. And regarding the universe as alive and ourselves as continually sustained within that aliveness, we see that we are intimately related to everything that exists. This startling insight that we are cousins to everything that exists in a living, continuously regenerated universe represents a new way of looking at and relating to the world and overcoming the profound separation that has marked our lives. From the combined wisdom of science and spirituality is emerging an understanding that could provide the perceptual foundation for the diverse people of the world to come together in the shared enterprise of building a sustainable and meaningful future. Doesn't that sound a lot like building a world that works for everyone? And that is what our global vision is building a world that works for everyone. And we are all important parts of that, every one of us. Story supporting that, not long ago there were four women that were talking, and the subject got around to their sons. And of course, some of them couldn't help bragging a little bit. One woman happened to mention, well, my son is a priest, and everyone calls him father. Well, another woman, not to be outdone, she said, well, my son's a vicar. And everyone calls him your eminence. The third woman, she said, well, my son's a cardinal. And everyone calls him your holiness. And the three of them looked at the fourth woman, knowing full well that her son was not even in the clergy. And she said, well, my son's not in the clergy, but he's 6'3", he weighs 212 pounds. He's very well educated. Did I say he's extremely handsome? He's very well spoken, and he's such a very kind and caring and loving person. Whenever he walks into a room, all the women say, oh my God. See, it takes all of us, every one of us. Okay, point number two, the interconnectedness of all life. And to that, I thought of the butterfly effect. And I don't know if you're familiar with the butterfly effect or not, but the central idea is that a butterfly flapping its wings in one part of the globe can create a hurricane in the other side of the globe. And I know that sounds a little far-fetched, but this originated from weather models. And they were able to go back and not that prove that the butterfly wing caused the hurricane, but that the butterfly flapping its wings in conjunction with a myriad of other things could create the hurricane. And without the butterfly flapping its wings, the hurricane might not occur. And that's just what we are. Without our individual contribution, even though we may think it is nothing more than a butterfly flapping its wings, it is that necessary component to create something else that could be a full globe away. I went to that universally accepted academically recognized site, Wikipedia, to come up with the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect refers to the concept that small causes can have a large effect. In the chaos theory, the butterfly effect is the sensitive dependence on initial conditions in which a small change in one state of a deterministic nonlinear system can result in large differences in a larger state. A better example might be a Buddhist temple. This is a temple to Indra, a god who protects and nurtures all life. And at the entrance to this temple is an enormous net. And at every junction where the two strands come together, there is a jewel, a bright jewel. And each jewel contains and reflects the image of all of the other jewels in the net. And that's just like us. We are each jewels, and we each contain and reflect all of the other jewels in the net. It's a man by the name of Anthony Lawrence, and he and his wife, Francois, started the Tula Tula Game Reserve. They ended up buying a game reserve in South Africa. They started with 7 elephants who were destined to be shot. They were bad elephants. They broke out of where they did. They trampled the farmers' crops. They were bad elephants. And they'd done it so many times, people were fed up with it, and they were going to kill these elephants. But somehow, Anthony Lawrence convinced them not to kill the elephants and to let him have them. And he got the elephants on his reserve, and every night he would go out and sit with the elephants. He spent days with the elephants. He eventually became known as the Elephant Whisperer, and there was even a book written about that, The Elephant Whisperer. But he didn't especially like that term, Elephant Whisperer. He preferred to think of himself as the Elephant Listener, because he would go out and do nothing but listen to the elephants. And one particular story, and there are many, 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 but one that I remember was that on one night, the matriarch of this herd of 7 elephants, in a rage, was ready to break out. She knew full well that there were 7,000 volts in this electric line that were holding them into reserve, but she was big enough and strong enough to do it. Her name was Nana, and Nana the matriarch was going to break her way out. And he stood in front of Nana, and he told her, "Nana, don't go. Stop. You are safe here. You are protected here. You can live here. You don't need to run anymore. Stop." And her ears flared, and she stepped forward with a charge, and he held his ground. And he said, "Stop, Nana, stop. You are safe here." They faced off for over an hour. And finally, Nana turned around and went back into the jungle, and the other six elephants went with her. Now, that wasn't the end of all their troubles, but he continued to work with them, to listen to the elephants, and to work with them and to keep them, and the elephants began to thrive. The kind of guy that Anthony Lawrence was, during the Iraq War, he went into Baghdad in the middle of the war to collect the animals that had been freed by the Iraqis to try and slow down the Americans. He went in there and collected the zoo animals and took them back to his sanctuary. But he did not heed the lessons of his doctor, and he died very suddenly at the age of 61 of a heart attack. It was on March 7th, 2012, Anthony Lawrence passed away. And Francois was at the compound. They had held the funeral. She was filled with grief. And one morning, in the early, early morning light, she heard a buzz around the compound of all of the workers. And she could hear everybody talking, and she wondered, what in the world now? And so she started to get up when one of the men came forward, and he said, Francois, they're here. And she said, who's here now? And he said, come. She came down, and there were 21 gray shapes standing against the fence. The elephants. It estimated that it took them over 12 hours of going through the jungle to arrive at that point. And he stood there, Francois stood there, and the elephants just looked at her, and they looked at each other for over an hour. And then the elephants began to walk up and down the fence, and they braying and making the noises that they always made when Anthony was around, and how they dealt with and called to Anthony. That in itself is an amazing story. They stayed there for 2 days, and then Nana led all 21 elephants back into the jungle. And it would be great, you could just end the story right there. It was on March 10th, 2012. But on March 10th, 2013, 21 gray shapes showed up at that fence. And on March 10th, 2014, and on March 10th, 2015, the elephants showed up again. And each time they would stay there for 2 days, and then they'd follow Nana back into the jungle. Last month, 1 month ago today, March 10th, 2016, the elephant showed up again. Evidence that we are all interconnected. All life is interconnected. My third point is that love is the self-givingness of spirit into creation. It is the impulse of life itself. Ernest Holmes wrote, love is a synonym for God, and God is love, the universal outpouring of the Spirit through law, wisdom, life, and action. God knows us in love. We know God only through love. When we love humanity, we are loving God in and through others. So as we love one another, we are loving God. Lady by the name of Hannah Brencher in New York City. She was riding a subway, and she looked across from her, and there was a lady seated. She had on workman's construction boots with no laces. She had on pants. She had a shirt and a coat, a watch cap with some gray hair coming out from underneath the watch cap. And Hannah just felt this strong urge to communicate with this other human being. And she didn't know how to go about doing it, but what seemed right to her, she pulled out her notebook and she started to write a letter. And she wrote a letter to this lady. Her intent was to rip it out and fold it up and give it to her as she got off the subway. She finished the letter and got ready to go, but the seat was vacant. The lady had already left. But she was left with this idea, the power of transforming just an innate piece of paper with writing on it into something powerful, something that connected two people as human beings. And she began a process of writing letters. She would write what she called love letters, and she'd write dozens of them. And then she'd leave them all over. She'd leave them in the subway. And she had this with a full knowingness that it didn't make any difference who it went to. She could trust the universe was going to deliver that love letter to exactly the person that needed to get it. And she left them at her work. When her co-workers would get up to go to a meeting, she'd slide a love letter in their chair. She'd leave them all over in the coffee shops. And she'd leave love letters. And this thing started to catch fire. And so she started a blog. And what came out of this blog and the things that she has written have been nothing short of amazing. And this is food for sermons down the line, I'll tell you. But there is one really astounding story that struck me. And this was that in her blog, she had written about the importance of the love letters. And she got a reply in the blog from a lady asking support for a friend of hers who was a single mom with two kids and struggling to make a house payment or rent payment, struggling to put food on the table. And so she put that out into the blog and she asked for love letters to send to this young lady named Brianna. And so she put it out at the first part of the week, and she didn't get back to her P.O. box for a few days. And I think it was Thursday or Friday before she got to her P.O. box, and she was excited because she knew there were going to be some letters in there that she could bundle up and love letters to send to Brianna. And she opened her P.O. box and was disappointed. There weren't any letters in there. There was just this little yellow slip of paper. And so she looked at it, and she took it up to the window, and she said, "This thing says that I'm supposed to, you know, go to the front desk." And he said, "Ah, you're 1061. I'm sorry, lady, but we had to move you to a bigger box, because mailbox 2061 was too small for all of the letters that were in there." And she bundled up this huge bundle of letters and gave them to this young mother. Not money, not donations, but love, support, love letters. We can all give one another love letters. We don't have to write something down, but we can do that with a smile, with a hug, with just a friendly greeting. Ernest Holmes said, "We cannot only embrace ourselves. Somehow our arms must find themselves around the shoulders of all humanity." So what I want you to take away today, the conclusion, the takeaway, we are all aspects of the One, interconnected at the spiritual and physical levels by the very life that lives as us. We live in a global family of human beings. Love is the impulsion of life itself. Let us express the love that moves between us, connects us, and binds us together. Compassion, service, care. Let's not reserve them only for our own individual families, but extend this outward to our brothers and sisters in our global family. Wrap our arms around the shoulders of all of humanity. And so it is with this awareness of our own interconnectedness and our own love for one another